well, welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. As we hear him out, we become fully assured that his word works. The logic of God is far beyond the mind of man. And the whole kingdom of God operates by faith. You taking God at his word, not Satan at his. Everything that he gives us to do, we must come to the point where we believe it, speak it, and act on it, and be with commitment, with diligence. And like we said in the last broadcast, contend for the faith. If a person believed God and received his word and acted on it, and he was making progress, the enemy see him making progress, then he's going to come and try to get him to stop the process and change his mind and opinions into worldly opinions. That's why it's so important to receive enough word of God in your heart so that you can withstand all the fiery darts and wiles of the devil. All of the influence, no matter what mask he put on, no matter who's saying his words, you can compare it to the wisdom of God and reject it. It's not enough to just not do the world systems. It's not enough not just to not do worldly ways. You're much better off when you drive it away from you, when you reject it. The worldly wisdom must be rejected. It's not a safe logic. It's not safe to trust. If you act on it, you're going to have failure. You can't be neutral about it. The Laodicean church became neutral about the things of darkness. They had appetite for the things that were wrong. And that's not good. It's not healthy to have an appetite for things that are wrong. Things that are wrong will kill you. It will destroy you. It will destroy God's plan for your life. It'll keep you far from it. But the wisdom of God will take you forward. And remember, when the Lord anoint you to do something, now you have his ability to do it. And the more ability that he gives you, which is the anointing, the more anointing that he gives you, it'll make the difference. It'll draw people to where they need to be. God loves you, and he cares about you. His wisdom is great, and he loves his people. He loves people so much, and he will do things to help them go forward. Everything that we do, all the people that God sent us to will be blessed, all of them. And they'll have a greater chance at life. See, the anointing also breaks yokes. Now, what's the purpose of God breaking your bonds if you go back and put them back on? That'll be pointless. But he breaks your bonds so you can live free. Now, churches have taught people and tried to drive it home hard and heavy to resist sin. And sometimes people used to fear sin. Sin is not greater than you now. You believed on Jesus Christ. You were washed in his blood. You're God's child, and you can drive sin away from you. You have the power to say no to it. You have the power to resist it. You have a power to resist Satan and all of his influence, all of it, all of his evil strategies. Even though his brain is like a supercomputer, and he's wise in his own efforts, you can rise above all that. God can show you a better plan, but you have to believe it. Every part that God shows you, you got to believe it and mix faith with it, or you will not do it. And And driving sin far away is easy. It's not hard. Stay in the love of God. Stick with what's right. Avoid the things that are wrong. It's not popular to those who love the world. But the way out of the world is to detach yourself far from it. Now, not the people. We love people, everybody, every soul, everywhere. Everybody. Everybody's made in God's image. And I like to treat people like they're important, because they are. They are incredibly valuable. They have deep resources, even the wicked ones. And the reason God judged the world is because people become so powerful. They're made in God's image. They will grow. Now, if they don't detach themselves from the wickedness, they will, their hearts will grow harder, and they will grow in their wickedness. And that's not good. It's not good for them, and it's not good for the victims that they're going to cause problems for. It's unsafe for a man to grow in wickedness. Even if they do, you still have authority over Satan, and there are wicked people out there, and some of them will kill you if they had their will. But you have something to say about what people do to you. You can speak safety over your life. Sometimes you have to demand it. You live in a place where there's a lot of corruption. And that's when you have to pray and ask God to give you wisdom in how to deal with people, how to love people. See, sometimes if people know you have much and you're around a lot of wickedness, you have to consider how you do things. If you live in a poor area where there's a lot of corruption, you have to ask the Lord about what to do and how to deal with people. The Lord used to give me wisdom. I knew I was around some angry people. He taught me not to be afraid of them. Taught me to love them anyway. And people that I saw shoot at others respected me. I didn't fear them. And they could sense it. And I cared about them. They could sense that too. And I didn't run with them. I didn't hang with them. And they knew that I love God. And if I forgot and left my garage door open, they wouldn't let anybody go in my garage. And they sold drugs. How weird is that? And I'm against drugs and all the drug activity. And I always was. But I never acted fearful. And I did my work. And when I saw them in gunfights, I'd take authority over Satan. And nobody ever got shot. Nobody ever got shot. And I became more fearless and more assured in the things of God. I say everything I teach in conviction. There's a story behind everything that I learn, because God loves us. God cares about us. We can do all things through Christ, and I know that we can do all things through Christ, who strengthens us. God cares about us. Now, sin will still kill you. Even though people think it won't, it will. They're going to die from it. It's going to hurt your life. And I point it out. I'm not afraid to point things out. And I do it in love, so people can make sober decisions. There's only two kind of minds, a sound mind and a deceived mind. But as we go forward in the Lord, we learn and we grow and we develop. There's nothing we can't do if we follow the Lord, our God and King. Everything we do must be done by faith. Faith is what God responds to. We have to learn to operate just like Him, because we're made in His image. We were intended by God to operate no different than He does in the first place. It remained God's will, even though man fell in sin. So Jesus came and did something about our sin. Now we're supposed to operate just like God, and no different. And we must believe him, take him at his word. He'll give us the format and how to do what we do, and it'll work. And you'll just have to take him at his word and believe him. As you go forward, God will bless you and take you forward. That's what's going to happen. You have to put a demand on some things. And you have to let a lot of old things go. But it's good for it to go. Your appetite will change. Your desires can change. If you start obeying God and doing it, you're going to have a new appreciation for the things of God. Forever. Not just now. You're going to, as time go on, you're going to see the whole scope and wisdom of God. It's awesome. Some of the things the Lord have alerted me to, I don't preach it till he releases it because it's too wonderful. God teach people at their pace. Now I say that not because he told me that, because I watch him. I pay attention to what he put in my spirit to minister and what he teach me one-on-one. And sometimes I think that, you know, I look for him to have me teach things that he shared with me. But I learn to listen. And I watch and pay attention to what he put on my heart to minister. And sometimes I get surprised when he have me to say some things that he once had me to hold. Because he has to teach people at their pace. He wants them to receive it. You can't see God talking to you, but if you give people too much information too fast, they may not receive it. And then they may not receive something else that they need to receive first. Remember, God is talking to people through you when you minister. And you have to pay more attention to how he have you to talk to people and relate to people. Then he can help you. He can help you go forward and not backwards. Now we have a responsibility to learn and grow. And the Lord, he's made himself responsible to help us if we ask, seek and knock. You ask him a question, he's ready to answer you. Now he knows how you're going to take it, whether he can tell you personally or tell you through somebody else. He thinks about the best way to do it, and he's going to do it that way. Another thing, he don't want you to be in pride. Some people, if God spoke to them, they'll get in pride. So he thinks of everything. Now he wants to be able to talk to people without them getting in pride or feeling that they are better than others. Some people take what God do for you and they'll respond negatively. So it's safe to let God teach people the way he wants to. Because he loves their soul just like he loves yours. And some people he have to deal with differently. He deal with everybody differently according to his perfect, unfailing wisdom to give them the best chance at life. Because some people, they'll side with the world and they'll go backwards. Some people will let things, they'll take it. If your focus changes, you change with it. And some people don't know how to stay focused. And they'll deviate. And to keep that from happening, God, he moves in our behalf. He thinks of everything. And so now you're going to have to trust him beyond what you see, hear, or think. You have to be ready to trust him. He's going to take you far beyond what you're used to. And it's going to be good, and you're going to love it. Now, if you can trust me on this, when the Lord speaks to you, write it down in the table of your heart and write it down on paper if you have to. But don't let it slip. We can let God's word slip at any time. Learn to hold on to the things you learn, things that are key. If your pastor says something that's important, but it's not relevant to your immediate life, you know, to solve the problems that you have now, hold on to it. You may need it. Sometimes, I talked about this in the earlier broadcast, the Lord, you may overhear a conversation that's of God. God knew you were going to hear that. And you may not think you need it right now, and you may not. But some things I've learned, because I was receptive, the Lord gave me a piece of the puzzle that I didn't ask for. And sometimes I put things out there before the Lord, and the Lord calls me to hear something that I really needed and desired to know. And sometimes I just overheard things at the right moment, and it blessed me at various times in my life. I'll give you an example. Lynn Lawson, he pastored the church at Gardendale. Years ago, he had a series called Taking Back What the Devil Stole. Now, when I heard it, I used to listen to the radio and work out of my truck. And when I heard that, I walked over to the truck and just listened to him. I said, this is good. Anything, I wanted to know how to beat up Satan. And his message was not just take authority over Satan, but take him back what he stole. And I got mad. I said, I was already angry because somebody stole a motorcycle. Somebody told me, before you get married, buy everything you want, because when you get married, you ain't going to be able to buy it for a long time. And I trusted them, and I bought a motorcycle, and then somebody stole it just before I got married. So I got upset at Satan. And I knew I had to forgive the person that stole it, and I believe I knew who it was. I let a guy ride it, and I believe he made a key, because I used to lock my handlebars. And I couldn't be, I knew not to get enough forgiveness, so I forgave him. But I said, Satan, you're going to give me my motorcycle back. I'm taking it back. Now, it was stolen years and years before I heard it, about 7 or 8 years before I heard Lynn Lawson. Well, maybe I got, yeah. Well, anyway, when I heard the message, I started speaking about the motorcycle. And I wouldn't let it go. It took years before it manifested. Now, when I had the motorcycle wreck, it wasn't my fault. And the people that hit me, they gave me the value. I bought a used motorcycle for $200. I paid $1,600 for the one that I paid for, that I bought new. And, because I think I paid $200 down, it was $1,400 I financed. And then I paid it off. Nevertheless, I got the full value of the motorcycle when a car hit me. They paid me the full value of that motorcycle plus my medical injuries and things like that. So I can safely say that I got all my money back on that motorcycle, and I thank God for it. And I confessed it for years now. In the motorcycle wreck, he was trying to kill me. And the Lord gave me a dream. He don't let things sneak up on you. And my brother-in-law had the same kind of dream. And we prayed that the night I had the wreck, I was supposed to die that day, according to Satan. But we prayed for each other, because we had similar dreams. And when I had the wreck, I lived. Now I'm still living. That was in 2001 when I had the motorcycle wreck. And it's 2018 right now when I'm doing this broadcast. And I'm still living. And I got the full value of that motorcycle. Sometimes a word that you hear can make all the difference. I learned another fact from Lynn Lawson. He believed God for a certain amount of money that day. And he went to the mailbox and he had a check for that amount. Now, when he got the check and he realized he had just prayed, the Lord spoke to him. He said, when you have a need, always believe for that need. He said, and the Lord said this, I can honor your faith yesterday because our God can see through time. And he can put things in motion so that you can have what you need the moment you believe for it. Now, it doesn't always happen that way, but it's possible. And a lot of other great and wonderful things are also possible as well. Another thing happened that was off the charts. I went to Mississippi to a wedding. And while I was in Mississippi, at the wedding, not at the wedding, but the night before the wedding, I spent the night there. I knew by the Holy Spirit that somebody was trying to steal my 61 Ford truck that I had restored to work out of. And I put a kill switch on the truck. And I had tools in my truck. And I had locked the box. The doors didn't have locks. That year model didn't have door locks on it. Beautiful truck. Anyway, I knew that somebody was trying to steal my truck. I'm in another state. My truck's at home. And I said, Satan, you can't steal my truck. And this was like a warfare. It was like a war between Satan and my faith. And I kept speaking the word. I kept speaking that my truck was safe and everything in my yard. And there was a battle back and forth. And I fought till I knew I won. And I started laughing. I had a note of praise. I knew that by the Holy Spirit, I won. And my truck was still there. I'm in another state. Mississippi. I think it was Brenda Coleman's wedding. Anyway, when I got back, I went out there and looked at my truck in the yard, and I was glad to see it, and I knew it would be there. And I had my toolbox on the back of on the bed of the truck opened all the way across. I saved up and got the better kind. Most of them opened on either end, but mine opened all the way across. And I looked inside, and I went on in and started working. And I kind of forgot about what happened that Saturday night. But anyway, a man came from down the alley and asked me, was I missing a toolbox? I said, no. And then I realized, I said, well, my toolbox was open. Let me look. And I started looking for my toolbox. It had a number 7 on top because I was mechanic number 7 when I worked at Jim McGill Chevrolet. And I said, yeah, my toolbox is missing. It's gone. I said, it had a number 7 on the top. He said, the people that tried to steal your truck, and they got your toolbox and left it on my back porch. I said, good. He said, well, I turned it in to the police. You'll have to go down to the police station to get it. So I called the police, and they told me where to go, and I went down there, and I had to pay a notary public to get my toolbox back. And I still remember what was missing. I had a front end fork to take front end parts. They got that. And an 18 millimeter wrench. They got that. And I think one socket. Everything else was intact. Now, while I was praying and while I was fighting in Mississippi spiritually, some guys was actually trying to steal my truck. But I won. And it was a battle. Now, I learned to do that listening to other people. People like Lynn Lawson, Kenneth Hagin, Charles Capps. The Lord is always trying to give us information. And we can, there's going to be a time we're going to need it. And we have to have ears to hear. But if you're a forgetful hearer, then it can't help you. But if you yield to the Lord, you can do so much greater. The Lord has so much to say. He won't leave any joy out of your life, but you got to watch him. You got to pay attention to him. You have to receive what he's saying deep in your heart, deep in your heart. A lot of people, they listen and then they agree with it because they're of God. That's how they measure it. They just agree with it. But you have to, you learn to measure it big by receiving it in your heart. Remember, your will is formed in your heart. When you're in a crisis, when you know something's wrong, you're going to respond in faith if faith is in your heart for that particular thing. So one day you may need healing, but if you've been hearing about healing and hearing the word of God, you'll be ready for it. Same thing with authority. When Satan attacks, you'll be ready for him. When you caught off guard, you'll be ready to fight. Now I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to mightily move in your life and throughout your life and bless you because that's his perfect will. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you. And Jesus is our Lord.